Hi, this is Steve. In our last episode, I spoke with Ann Sikon and Jackie Eddy of the Center for Independent Futures about the process of developing housing alternatives for individuals living with disability and the necessary steps to prepare for the big move. First, there is a process of determining the correct type of dwelling, the location, and who might be appropriate roommates if that's part of the plan. There are also life skills to develop and a number of other important steps to assure a successful move. Then we talked about the importance of developing a natural, supportive community. Today's discussion involves CIF's full life model and the role it plays in establishing and maintaining a well-balanced and fulfilling life. Let's rejoin our conversation with Jackie Eddy and Ann Sikon from the Center for Independent Futures. The full life model, which you use for basically a person-centered planning, could you kind of explain that? I know there's about 12 different circles there. I'm not sure. But these, I mean, I'm thinking about how much I would have loved as a neurotypical individual to have somebody taken me aside when I was 14 or 17 or 20 years old and said, let's look at these areas of your life and how you can enrich them. Because I didn't. We're just singly focused on one thing or another, and we're not really thinking about what it takes to have a balanced, full life. And so I really admire how you guys have put that model together. And could you kind of explain that, Jackie?
Yeah, sure. So the model is many interlinked circles. There's a core circle at the middle, and then there's interlinked circles around the outside. And these are all domains of life, parts of our life, these interlinked circles, that we feel you need to be kind of working in or growing in or looking at in order to experience a full life. And so I'll just kind of go briefly through the circles on the outside and then talk a little bit about the circle in the middle. The circle in the middle first, though, does have the individual disabilities as the focus of the conversation. So from their perspectives, these are the things we're looking at. Connections is one of the circle, and it's about what are the relationships in your life. And, you know, are there good paid professional connections? Are there friendships and family relationships? Are there enough of these networks to be able to support you, to be able to do things, and also to enjoy life with you? So it's an issue of what are the connections at work in your life, and how are they supporting you to live the life that you want? The next area is fun and talents, and that's the area of thinking about, what am I passionate about? What do I enjoy? All of us have those things. So if it's photography, or if it's cooking, or if it's I love to sew, or I like to hike, whatever it is, what are the kinds of things that I want in my life that I'm passionate about, and it helps me enjoy, it takes me into a space of enjoyment and engagement, and how do I get access to those things and support to do those things? The next area is wellness, and that circle is four parts. So in wellness, we think about how do we manage and maintain our physical well-being, tools and things we need to be able to do that. Then what kinds of options do we have around our psychological health? What are we using and doing to be able to make sure that we're psychologically healthy? And then the other one is thinking about the issue of spiritual wellness. So how do we get that kind of need met? And then finally, the issue around safety. How do I keep safe? How do I maintain, you know, a place that's safety? What do I need to know if there's some education that's needed around my safety and tools I need to make sure that I'm safe? Then getting around is a circle about getting into the community to be able to use and do the kind use that's out there and do the kinds of things out there in the community that you want to do. So can I get around in terms of public transportation if that's available to me? Or do I know how to use an Uber or a Lyft if that's what I need to use to be able to get into my community? Or can I drive? All of those questions about how do I get where I'm going? Can I bike? Can I walk? What would I need and how do I get into my community and around to do the kinds of things I need to do? Community engagement is the circle that focuses on how do I participate in my community, how do I give back, and then how do I learn about what's going on around me in my community. Earning my way can be a process of both paid employment or volunteer kind of work, to thinking about what's a purpose for my life where I am going to engage and make money to bring into my life to be able to support my needs and or volunteer my skills and talents so that I am engaged in time that kind of way. And then how do I manage my money? What are my tools for managing my money? Making sure that I'm saving or that I'm not spending everything in one place. And how do I think about that and do that? And what are the tools I need to help me do that? Lifelong learning is our belief, again, that people learn throughout their life and has the capability to do that. So what is it that you want to be learning next, and what kinds of things to be looking at, and what kinds of resources are there available for you? And then finally, my place, which is about the space that you live in and how do I manage and maintain my space? How do I cook for myself, clean my space, what I want it to be? What does my space look like? What do I really want for my space? And how do I bring in those elements into my space? So it's those eight circles or domains of life that we say people need to be engaging in and exploring and finding the supports they need to be able to be functioning in all those areas in a way that gives them the fullest life possible. Many of us focus on earning my way at the expense of some of our fun and talents.
Exactly.
Or, you know, wellness at the expense of connection, or, you know, and the reality is we're saying we need to balance these different things to have a full mm-hmm. and kind of rich life. Then that circle in the middle of our full life model is all about the process of engaging an individual to be able to answer the questions and set goals around all these circles. So it's first of all, what do I hope and dream for myself? Thinking about what's the life I want for myself. Process we many times engage individuals and family members in, this dreaming about the future. What does a good full life look like? And then what gets in the way of that? What are the obstacles that get in the way for me getting that? And then what are the assets of the network I have in place, of my community, of myself that I can bring to this? If I'm a determined young person and I can bring that determination, or I'm not afraid of trying, or if I happen to have a great sense of humor and, you know, I bring that into the work, these are all assets that keep us moving forward. And then we think about how do you take those dreams and make a specific goal around that? So if I have a dream of being a basketball player, then I need to think about what goals do I need to have to do that? And many times they relate directly to those circles. I'm going to be a basketball player. I'm going to be really rich. So how am I going to manage that money that comes in? I'm going to be a basketball player. I better be fit. I better be doing some exercises. How do I physically take care of myself to do that? I got to practice. How do I get to the basketball court? You know, so what's my getting around? So you might actually be thinking about all those areas of life to be able to reach a goal, a dream. And so you set some goals around how to do that. I'm going to exercise once a week. That's my goal, is to exercise once a week. And then the next step is to say, well, what are the steps I need to take? The actions I need to put in place to do that? I better find a place first to exercise. Maybe I need to learn how to play basketball if I'm going to be a basketball player. So maybe I need to take a basketball playing course, you know, whatever it is. I got to go and get a coach. I need to. So you put in place steps to be able to reach that goal. And as we know, we all learn from experience. And so we believe in that dignity to be able to go learn and find out, yes, I can be successful at this. Or you know what? This was maybe not so successful and I need to rethink that. So there's a step of thinking and doing where you learn. And we believe individuals with disabilities learn exactly the same way and need the opportunity and the privilege to have experiences and grow from them. Sometimes to be successful, sometimes not to be as successful, and to have to then figure out what's next. Maybe I really didn't like basketball, but wanted to play golf. So you find out through experience, and that's what we believe that people have the right to do.
And let them voice their goals, even though you might think it's improbable, because when you shoot down someone's goals, they're not going to offer any more.
Yeah. We absolutely believe that we are dream keepers and that families are dream keepers, people who hold the dreams of an individual and help people move towards them, whether they reach them or not. And allow that to happen, allow people to move towards their dreams. I had dream destroyers in my life, we all have, and my guess is any of your listeners could identify who's the person who said, you'll never be able to do that, or do you think you have enough talent for that, or whatever it is.
Or sometimes the person saying that is yourself, which is
yourself, yes.
Your own worst enemy.
Right. And so our goal is to not be those dream destroyers, but be encouragers of the dream and allow people to take the steps they need to take to be able to learn if that is, in fact, where they're meant to go.
I think also letting people learn how to do that, because so often young adults with disabilities haven't been asked what their dreams are. They've been often told what they can't do. Oh, we don't know if you'd be able to do that, without respecting, acknowledging, and encouraging their dream, but immediately shooting it down. So people really will, you know, it's not the first time that someone may have said, what their hope and dream is, and a well-intentioned person said, oh, no, darling, that's just not going to be for you. You know, I mean, it's a totally different mindset, and it's really helping people start dreaming again about what that future can be for them.
Yeah, I think from a parent's point of view, the motivation behind that is I don't want them to be hurt by trying and failing. But in reality, everything I've learned that's of value in my life, I learned by trying and failing. College was helpful, but it certainly didn't get me to where I wanted to be. It just gave me some base knowledge. Experience was the important thing. And we don't allow our kids to fail sometimes. We're too eager to have them set their expectations lower so they're not disappointed. But they can deal with the disappointment because in the process, they find something else that's a bright star for them, some other kind of a goal that they want to pursue. Just a matter of mom and dad back off a little bit, you know, give them a chance.
Yeah, easier said than done, obviously.
Obviously it is. And I fail at it all the time, even now after 31 years. But at least I'm aware that I'm failing at it.
Yes.
And calling yourself into awareness of what you're doing, I think, is really important.
And it, absolutely, we're as parents saying we want to be careful because we're responsible or we feel responsible for safety. And so the issue of safety was brought up before. And we believe that you can learn with supports in place that keep you safe so that you can learn a skill. And then you'll know whether or not it's something you can move towards. And a good example, people think about Chicago all the time and its public transportation systems, and, oh, my kid could never do that. And we have individuals who are taking public transportation downtown Chicago and working, right? And how did they learn to do that? Well, they might have learned to do it with a coach who rode with them, who helped them learn how to use the maps, who then shadowed them in the same car to see what was going on. How do they handle someone who might approach them, who's a stranger, and then helping and coaching on that. And they do that until there's a place of comfort where the individual actually can do that. You know, everything from shadowing in the same car to following or meeting a person at the place they were supposed to end up at, being in touch on that cell phone, maybe if they need to be. So there's ways to put in supports to be able to learn something that you might think, oh my God, I would never want my child to ride the public transportation system in Chicago. To find out, oh, they can, and they can do that safely, and they can do that well, and they've got the tools. And so it does take an opportunity and an experience with the right supports to be able to move into the place of being able to do the task or the life skill.
I love the term appropriately supported because it's a different level for each person depending upon what their need happens to be.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah,
and I think that's really true. With the right supports, people can do a whole lot of amazing things. So I got a question here. How do we approach the problem where someone is living in a small town or rural? Where do they start when they have someone who is really is approaching the age they should be living on their own?
Yeah, I think that's going to vary in each community, one of the resources that are available. You know, we look at really about more of a grassroots approach, and sometimes it's through churches because we find churches to be really families come together and to be able to do a call to action. Sometimes it's simply getting it out to other, making an announcement to your local community. Are there other families out here who are interested in meeting at the library or meeting, you know, at the coffee shop, whatever it may be, to start a conversation about this? I mean, families have actually started it up that way, and we started up the same way with just putting out really notices, public notices, to families in the area and saying, if you're interested, come to the library on these days. We want to start a conversation. So that is one way. I think it sometimes feels intimidating for someone who hasn't done that before, but you will find that you're most likely not alone. You know, you've just maybe been not connected to other people, but when you simply look at the statistics of the number of individuals of American citizens with disabilities, they're connected to families. And so it's usually you don't find yourself that you're really alone. As far as for rural, you know, we work with rural communities. In the last year, we've worked with a couple of rural communities. And though it may say rural, you know, when you're thinking you're so far removed, you know, we had over 100 people show up at one call to action who might live in rural areas, but different type of, if it was Special Olympics or if it was Special Rec or if it was different schools that their now adult children had at one time attended, those all existed. And so it was amazing to me how many people were in, this was at a church that had opened their community hall for the event, how many people showed up. And so many concerns that exist for individuals who might live out on a farm, how do you get from here to there, will still exist for individuals, young adults with disabilities. How do those families come together and say, you know, what do we need to put in place to make the connection into the community possible? What does that look like? And I think it will look different for every single community. You know, every single person, those families that come together, it will look different. But I would say from our perspective, it starts with a call to action. It comes with reaching out to the rest of your community.
Sure. And there can also be, in my mind, is, you know, there's places that you can go. The ARC certainly is a place where families can meet. So if there's a conference in your state that you can make it to, you start to meet families and know families. Or if you have a local chapter or a regional chapter, there are different chapters usually across the state that are meeting. They're a great resource to be able to think about how do you connect with families and would they be willing to help advocate for a group of families to come together and talk about the issues. So they could be a great resource. There's also Center for Independent Living, which are advocate-led organizations in some states, which are, again, great places to start the conversation and be thinking about how do you connect with people. So these are some ways to begin, you know, some resources that are out there. Also service providers, people who are providing services today for individuals might be willing to help bring families together in a way to connect them if they have not yet solved the question of a housing solution or thinking about what are next steps for their individual. So those are other resources that are in your community that you can try to work with to pull together families. We also know there are some interesting things happening out there about ways to connect families, just as in dating sites.
Yeah.
There's somebody out there developing a site where families who might be interested in exploring this option of housing together could find each other. And we're working with that person over the next month to kind of see, is this something that we could help support? Because we think it's a great idea. Many times families that call and talk to us say, how do I connect with families in my area? I don't know how to do that. This would make that so much easier, where you kind of fill out a survey or some information about what are you thinking about in terms of, in this case, specifically housing, the options for housing. And when are you ready to make a move? And what kind of setting are you looking for? And then what are your individual's interests and passions? And kind of finding that out, putting it in a survey, and then being able to look and filter those things that are most important to you and actually find a family who might be, you know, down the road or in the next township or whatever, to be able to say, let's have a conversation. Sit down, have a conversation, see if we have anything in common, and if this is somebody we could work with to make something happen. And then individuals can start to meet and say, gee, is there a roommate potential here? Is there even common interests or things that they like? Or could they build a relationship to be able to think about that? So there are people developing those things now, and we're looking at ways to try to expand the use because we think it's really important. Families are asking for those kinds of tools.
More technology-based call to action or identifying interested parties.
It's amazing because you can think of something as being a huge problem, and you just came up with about 12 excellent ideas of how people can connect. And I know that every county in Michigan, I believe every county, has a Center for Independent Living. They have different names. We have the Disability Advocates in Kent County. We have Disability Network Lakeshore in Ottawa County. They all, just to confuse people, they have a different name, but they're all CILs.
Right. Yes.
And that's a good place to go. And I'm finding social media, for all of its evils and the negative things it's done to society, still Facebook pages, I belong to about four or five that have different specifics of dealing with disability. Some might be for young children. Others are for adults. But there is a network out there. And once you break into that network, you can start doing a little call to action or something along those lines. But I think it's an excellent way.
A meetup. Setting up a meetup of families of individual disabilities who want to talk about housing. I mean, these are tools or ways that you can start to find other people who are looking for the same thing or thinking about the same thing and see who might be a good match for what you're trying to do.
It's almost like shouting into a canyon and basing faith that the echo will get out there because it gets passed on, it gets passed on, it gets passed on.
Sure.
It's viral, I guess they call it, right?
Yes, exactly.
Well, we cover a lot of the things I wanted to talk about. You know, what can people expect along the way? They can expect disappointments. They can expect things not to go their way. They can expect some surprises and some adventures along the way, too. You also came out with a book you passed out to us when we went to the training, Alternative Housing Options for Individuals with Disabilities. And I think that's almost like the housing Bible. It covers a lot, and it gives an awful lot of direction as to how people can go forward and create these housing opportunities.
And that is a free resource available on our website. There's, if you went to the Center for Independent Futures website, which is www.independentfutures.com.
And if it's okay, we'll connect with that with our website so people can do that. And they can also see what the full life model looks like.
Right. Yeah. And there are other resources. There's a resources tab, news and resources tab. And in that tab, this book, since we developed it, we've developed several other free resources that families who are trying to do this work might be able to access. I mean, one of the things to prepare your adult child is to think about living skills and determine where are they on some core essential living skills and how do they grow those skills to be a little bit more ready to make a move for independence. There's a tool in there that's free to kind of look at to do that. There's also a tool in there that we just completed that talks about how to map the assets in your own community and think about engaging them in a project. And that's a great resource that's kind of driven by an organization called the Asset-Based Community Development Institute. And it's all about how grassroots kind of community organizing can move forward toward goals. And it's a great tool, I think, for groups of families to be able to use. So there's some other free resources on that website that are available for people.
And the manual that you were just talking about is also available. And for families who can take that and have already established a group of families, and we see that. You know, some families don't feel as isolated, have maybe gone through special rec all these years together, and really are a cohesive social group already. If they can take that manual and start going through the steps themselves, we're thrilled to see that happen. That's part of the reason why these resources are there, is for family groups to be able to take them and use them on their own and make progress.
But you guys are always here to help.
We are indeed.
Yes, we
in
are.
The event, and it's a very valuable resource. And again, this is something we'll put on our website, things you just came up with that were new, to make sure that people are aware of that. And I would just basically say that if you're listening to this and you feel like you're isolated and you don't have anybody to talk to in regard to housing, be that person that raises their hand, be that person that steps forward. It doesn't mean you have to pull the whole wagon all the time by yourself. You'll find other people that are interested and have talents beyond what you can imagine to bring to the table. But you just have to be that voice that speaks up. And it's hard. This is not easy.
If for your listeners don't know Alet Mansky from Plan Canada, who wrote a book called Safe and Secure, which is all about kind of the things that families need to do to move forward for lives for their children. This is a person who basically says that this is the journey that parents struggle with asking for support, and that this is the journey that we're on, is to take that next step and to connect with other people and look for the kinds of support you need to work together.
Alan Mansky?
Al Et Mansky.
Et Mansky.
Et Mansky. Plan Canada.
Etmansky.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
I have about 14 books at home that I should read that I keep picking up because I hear about them. Wow, that sounds great. If I buy it, someday I'll read it. It's the lie I tell myself. But
yeah.
I do eventually start going through them. But that does sound like it answers an awful lot of concerns, just the title in itself. Anything else you'd like to say?
Just what a pleasure and a privilege to be able to talk with you today, Steve, and hope that this is helpful.
I think it'd be very helpful for people, and I think there's so many areas we could delve in. Like you said, you spend 4 days on the training. We could spend 4 days on the recording here, which we won't do because people will be bored out of their minds after taking invites. I think that with your permission, I'll probably come back at some point and maybe delve deeper into one of these things as interests appear.
We'd love to have you back anytime. Okay. And Steve, thank you for all you're doing to reach out to families and give more resources.
Thank you for the opportunity to visit.
We all have to help out. We all have to be part of that solution.
We're all in this together, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yes, we are.
Thanks for tuning in to Navigating Life as You Know It. I'm Alex, your producer and occasional car mechanic, here with your weekly announcements. Now, you might be wondering, Alex, these announcements aren't in the middle of the interview. What's going on here? Well, The truth is, we really couldn't find a good place to divide up this part of the interview. So, we decided to stick me at the very end, between the interview and the Unlocky Chat Cafe. Hope we didn't throw your day off too badly, but if we did, I apologize. I have two important things to go over with you today. The first is a new segment coming up in a future episode, where we will begin having our leaf segments. Now, we're going to go out on a limb here and assume you don't know what we're talking about. Our leaf segments are listener engagement and feedback, LEAF. The point of this segment is because many of you have reached out to us with some really good questions, asking about some of the topics we've already touched on and to drill a bit further into them. So, leaf segments will begin showing up every now and then to help give you pertinent information for things that matter. The second thing I want to go over with you is where we're at with navigating life as we know it. Right now, we're in what we are calling phase one, primarily interview-driven episodes. We have collected interviews from people across the disability advocacy field, and we want to bring you that information as best we can. Some of these interviews went very long, and we don't want to produce two-hour-long episodes, so in that case, we will divide them up. But there aren't very many like that going forward. Phase two is going to involve a lot more listener engagement. What that means is we need to hear from you, the people who tune in and listen to our show. Please reach out to us on Facebook or send us an email direct at communications@envisionmediaservices.com. Our email is available on our Facebook page, and we will incorporate any questions you have into either a leaf segment or our phase two episodes, which will begin early 2021. I'm not going to stay in the way any longer, but I do want to do a quick shout out to the Center for Independent Futures. They were a phenomenal guest and incredibly patient with us as our podcast evolved over the last year. Please look them up, go to their Facebook page. They have got constant, amazing action going on there. I'll let you get on to the Unlocky Chat Cafe now. Have a great listening experience.
Hi, and welcome back to the Unlocky Chat Cafe. I'm Carrie, the cafe manager. Have a seat and grab a cup of your favorite brew, which could be coffee. Today, we've listened to episode two of Steve's two-part interview with Jackie Eddy and Ann Sikon from the Center for Independent Futures. Steve just walked in and has grabbed a cup of bold coffee. I guess that means he's ready to discuss episode two with us. Hi, Steve. What's on your mind today?
Today, most of our discussion was about the Center for Independent Futures full life model. That is a plan they put together to help a person assess what is important in their life and the steps to achieve it. And we've been through person-centered planning, which is kind of related to this. We're going to have a whole series of episodes on a program called Charting the Life Course. These are all designed for the same thing, to help somebody focus on making their life full with the expectations that they have for their life and how to achieve happiness and fulfillment as much as possible. So the full life model covers things like the connections you have, what you do for fun and what your talents are, artistic wellness. It could be physical wellness and nutritional wellness, getting around, being able to travel on public transportation, community engagement. Again, finding activities in the community that aren't programs for people with disabilities, but just are programs that are offered in the community for enrichment. It could be an art class, not an art class just for people with disabilities, an art class. Okay.
Yeah, all right.
Earning my own way. Maybe it's a part-time job, a full-time job. Maybe it's volunteering, but it's giving back to the community. Lifelong learning basically means to keep an interest in what's going on around you, to be involved, and to always be open to changing your mind and learning new things. Maybe learning how to play a piano or learning how to play video games. My place is where you live and who you live with, and having a sense of home, because home is really important. I don't know about you, but sometimes it just feels really good to get home, especially right? If you've been coming home from work and it's been a bad day. Usually, home is your castle, right?
Right. It's your safe, calm, relaxing place.
Where hopefully you have your allies.
Yes.
So that's what it is. It's a process of exploring methods to create a good life using resources in the greater community with paid and natural supports. It includes all aspects of independent life and social development. That's what they talked about in the full life model. And again, we'll be posting information about this.
It's how you figure that stuff out.
Correct.
Okay.
I mean, there's been a path blazed already. As long as it's been blazed and it worked,
I don't have to reinvent the wheel.
Right. Exactly.
But I might want to paint it red.
You can paint your wheel red if you want to. You can paint your wagon red if you want to. Mm-hmm. You could use blue.
And this is not, again, this is not going to be a static thing. Once I put this down, then I'm done.
No, as a matter of fact, like a person-centered plan, because they're kind of related, that can be revisited anytime you want.
Okay.
I mean, did you set off on one path in your life, and have you ever never made any detours or changes?
No way.
Usually, and,
you
by
know,
Tuesday.
Things are coming out
right
all the time that I don't know if I'm interested in that until maybe I hear about it. And I'm like, oh, wait a minute. I think the same is true everywhere.
Not only that, circumstances change. Things that weren't even available before become available now. It's a dynamic process, and it can be changed when another opportunity comes up. You might say, I'm pursuing this one thing, but I don't particularly like it. Or you might decide, you know, you really want to be a great piano player, but you finally come to the realization that I just can't be as good as I like, but maybe I could be good at saxophone. So try something different. It's okay.
Right? Yes.
So we'd love to hear your comments on this episode. Please check out our Facebook page or our website and leave your comments, questions, or suggestions. And now the credits. We should have a drum roll here. Thank you to all of our minions who diligently work on this podcast. Alex Johnson is our Dark Lord and producer. Princess Holly Johnson is our website designer and tech guru. Carrie Johnson is the podcast mama and co-host. Daniel Munoz is our non-Johnson intern. Danny manages post-production communications with our guests and provides staff diversity. Also, a special thanks to our beta listeners. Like coffee filters, they help us improve the product by offering suggestions, such as installing a drive-through window at the cafe. By the way, if you want to get your own magical and lucky coffee mugs, you can get one of these mugs delivered to your doorstep by visiting our Patreon page and making a small sustaining donation. With an Milwaukee coffee mug, there ain't no such thing as a bad cup of coffee. Navigating Life as We Know It is a production of Envision Media Group, LLC. I am Steve Johnson, your host. Thank you for listening.